name's Philip, and I want to welcome you to 633 and to this podcast, and in fact, to this series of podcasts, which I've entitled, What is God Like? And in this series, I want to start today with this particular episode. I want us to approach this not as looking at some concepts about God, such as we might have seen, perhaps if we read some theologians, they'll talk about the attributes of God. But I don't want to look at it in quite the way that they might do. I want to look to see how, if I can use this expression, God turns up in the Bible, in the scriptures, and reveals himself to people and for people. We're used to words, perhaps, like the sovereignty of God and the omnipotence of God, omnipresence, omniscience, the transcendence of God, all of these big words and important words. But this time in this series, it's about God in the scriptures engaging with people, men and women, people like us, engaging with them in their lives, in their everyday lives, in the things that are going on within their time, their experience and their culture. So it's how he appears to these people in the Bible, how he reveals himself to them, how they discover things that are true about him in the way that he interacts with them. Now, sometimes we come across an argument that the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament. Well, of course, he's not different. He's not a different God. It's not that one God's ended and another God has begun. It's not even that God has changed when the scriptures move from Old Testament to New Testament. But actually, we do see many things that are different in the New Testament from what they were in the Old Testament. Of course, there's a reason for that. What we see in the Bible is this ongoing, this progressive revelation of God to people. And of course, to his people when we begin to encounter that group of people, the nation of Israel. And this is important. God in the Bible is consistently and progressively revealing himself to people. By progressively, I mean that little on little, layer on layer, people discover more about who this God is. It's through interaction. It's through engagement in life and living with him and in him that we discover more and more about him. And we can discover who he is for us, for you and me today, here and now, in two main ways. One, through looking at these people in the Bible, discovering what they discovered and seeing how that applies to us. And as we live our everyday lives, realizing that God is there for us as he was there for these people in the Bible. Let me start with a quotation from probably one of my favorite authors, A.W. Tozer, a man who lived in the earlier part of the 20th century. And in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, he says this about the Old and the New Testament, or Old and New Covenant. The Old Covenant, as something provisional, was abolished, and the New and Everlasting Covenant took its place. The blood of goats and bulls lost its significance when the blood of the Paschal or the Passover lamb was shed. The law, the altar, the priesthood, all were temporary and subject to change. Now, the eternal law of God is engraved forever on the living, sensitive stuff of which the human soul is composed. Yes, of course, some things have changed from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, but the God behind them both is one and the same. He hasn't changed, but the covenant has changed. And we see the covenants that God makes with Adam, with Abraham, with Moses and the people of Israel, with David, and so on. I just want to identify three key significant differences in the types of covenant that God makes. First of all, there's the original intention that God had. And I just want to call that the Eden Agreement. God gave this, made this agreement with Adam and with Eve about this garden, about how they should live in that garden and their responsibilities towards him in that garden and how he would engage with them. We'll see more of that in a little while. The Eden Agreement. And that, of course, then changed because they sinned. They were put out of the garden. And eventually, we have what we might call the sacrificial works agreement that came through Moses with the people of Israel on Mount Sinai there. And then from that sacrificial works covenant, there was another change when Jesus came to what I just want to call today the salvation grace covenant. So from the Eden agreement to the sacrificial works agreement to the salvation grace agreement, that was how God changed his working, his way of dealing with men and women. So the means of forgiveness had to change from Old Testament to New, from sacrificial works to salvation grace. But the kind of people that God was looking for remained unchanged. Whether we're looking at Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, the apostles, the early church, and ourselves, the kind of people that God is looking for never changed. That was unchanging, just as God himself is unchanging. And we'll look at what that is in one of our later episodes. It's only the means of achieving God's goal that had to change. So in this series, what is God like? We'll be tracking God's revelation of himself through the Bible. We'll be seeing how as he deals with people, as he interacts with people, we'll look at some of those people and how those interactions happened and what it was that he revealed about himself in those interactions with men and women. And we see as well the impact that that has for us today, here and now. And that's how I want us to approach this particular series on what is God like. Well, that's by way of introduction to the series. So now I want to briefly introduce God to you from the Bible. And let me start with a paraphrase of a prayer that A.W. Tozer prays right at the beginning of his little book on the attributes of God, The Knowledge of the Holy, from which I've already quoted. But let's pray together. Lord God, you're not the God of the philosophers and the wise, but you're the God of the prophets and the apostles. And better than all of that, you're the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we approach you without any fear of blame in our desire to know you better. Because we know, we discover that that is what you want. You want us to know you better. And Lord, we know that those who do not really know you will sometimes pray and worship you just as something that they have created in their own minds. And we don't want to do that today, Lord. We don't want to do that through this series. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, illuminate our hearts and our minds so that we may know you, God, as you really are. And in knowing you, we might love you more perfectly and we might praise you more worthily. In Jesus' name, amen. So where shall we begin our quest? Well, let's begin at the beginning, and let me aim now to introduce the Creator. In Genesis 1, that's where we'll start, right at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, beginning to read from verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. The first thing that we discover about God is that he's there. He's there at the beginning. At the beginning of what, you may ask? Well, actually, we can see it's at the beginning of everything. Beginning of absolutely everything. The beginning of time, the beginning of creation, the beginning of the world we inhabit, the beginning of light and dark and the universe, everything. He was there at the beginning. In other words, everything that we can experience, he was there before it. He was at the beginning of it. He was the cause of the beginning of it. Which must then mean that he was there before anything that we can experience existed. This is where the first hints of his eternal nature come from. Not explicitly, that will come later, but he's there at the beginning. As things begin, as he begins everything. In fact, as he begins the beginning, he's already there. God is there. And he will reveal more about himself, as I've said, progressively, developmentally, through the scriptures that we read as he interacts with people. So there he was, created it all. Why? Because he's creative. He isn't creative because he created. He created because he is creative. He created everything out of his creative nature. And he was there as spirit, these verses tell us. Intimately involved, hovering, brooding, is one translation. Brooding over the waters. Just beginning to get ready to bring forth life from these waters. Intimately involved in his creation. The Spirit was there. God was not somehow remote from this maelstrom, this chaos. He was there, ready to bring it to life and to bring good from it. He's creative. He's there as Holy Spirit, intimately involved. And he speaks. He shows us what he is like by the way he expresses himself and the nature of that expression. And here, let me just pause for a moment and say that really, really importantly, what he once was there in that pivotal moment, that crucial key moment of creation, what he was there and then, he always is. God is unchanging. We read about that later in the Bible. He is unchanging. What he was at the beginning, he is today. His creativity, his intimate involvement, his presence, his speaking life into what he was doing there, he still does today, still wants to do in your life and in my life right now and in the days ahead. And here are our first wonderful glimpses of this wonderful, awesome, glorious, powerful God that we will discover more and more about as we read the scriptures and even as we go through this series together, that will make us wish to worship him more, to worship him better, to love him more deeply and to pursue him more fully. So let's go back to our initial question. What is God like? Well, we've just seen in these just few verses from the beginning of Genesis, he's eternal. He was there before the beginning. He's creative and always creative. What he once was, he still is. He was intimately involved with the whole process of bringing life. And he is still intimately involved with life. Your life, my life, the life that goes on all around us in this world. And he is communicative. He speaks. He spoke then, let there be light. Let this happen, let that happen. Let it happen. He spoke life and he speaks life still. If we will listen, if we will hear him, he will speak into our being. This is what God is like. This wonderful God, eternal. He's still here now, still with us today, will be with us tomorrow. so long as we have a tomorrow. He has always has a tomorrow. He's always creative. He's intimately involved with our lives, and he communicates with us as he speaks life into us. In our next session, I'm going to be looking at the way God relates to people, because he is a relational God, and that's our theme next time, our relational God. But here, let's just pray right now as we think on what we've discovered about this wonderful God, this powerful God who created everything, but this intimate, loving, deeply concerned God with his creation, with the people that he created as well. So let's pray together as we close this session. Father God, as we read these verses from Genesis about how you were there at the beginning of everything, and in fact nothing would have begun were it not for you, we thank you and we praise you for it. We bless you for your goodness in creating everything that we see around us, so much that we don't yet see, and that you created us to be part of this creation of yours. We thank you. And Lord, as we see that you are eternal, you are ever present there in the heavens and ever present here within our being and here in our living. Oh Lord, as you are present, so you are speaking, so you are communicating with us. Help us, Lord, to hear you clearly speaking into our lives and more as we pursue you. And oh Father, as you're so intimately involved in your creation, you are so because you love us. Lord, may we love you more deeply as we discover more about you. And as we love you more and discover more, so may our lives become more like you. Help us to pursue you with deep passion and with great concern, that we clearly and adequately and accurately reflect who you are. Father God, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, help us, we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for being with us on this first episode of this series, What is God Like? There'll be another episode coming, and look forward to that. Look out for it. You can subscribe on our website. You can find the videos on YouTube, or you can listen on the podcast apps.